got a dollar bill up here, and it looks to be real. Do you know there's lots of counterfeit money floating around out there? Back in 2016, the government seized over $30 million worth of counterfeit money. Most of it was brought in from a big from Peru, where they were importing these counterfeit money. But you know, there's also a lot of counterfeit faiths out there as well. Not the real deal. And James wants to give us what the true faith is all about. Not a counterfeit faith, not a fake faith, if you will, but James, in our reading for this morning, gives us what it really truly means to have true, legitimate faith. We know that we're saved through Jesus Christ, through his grace, through faith in him. But we want to ask ourselves this morning, do we really truly have that true faith? We say, well, yeah, I know I'm saved. We know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Wonderful verses that Paul writes in Ephesians. Says it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then it goes on, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We know the answer. Are you saved? Are you going to go to heaven after you die? And we say, well, yes, of course I am. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, it's by grace. It's not because of our works. It's through faith alone. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we know we have the assurance that we are going to go to heaven when we die because we have faith, and that faith alone saves us. But then, I don't know if your feathers got sort of rustled this morning, as we heard the reading from James chapter 2, especially there's a hurdle here, if you will, in verse 24. 24 of James 2, chapter 2 says, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And we say, oh, hold on. Hold on. I've been a Lutheran Christian my whole life. I know I'm saved by grace through faith alone. Our works don't save us, but yet we have this from James. Chapter 2, 24, it says, works. A person is justified by our works and not by faith alone. What's going on? Is that true? Does the Bible maybe contradict each other? What's happening here in the book of James compared to the book of Ephesians that we just read, that I spoke a few moments ago? Well, we want to, as we read Scripture, we want to always look at context, who the author, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing to, and sort of the context and the people who are receiving that letter. And so we want to compare this morning, before we look into James chapter 2 and see some of the things, the characteristics of legitimate true faith, not counterfeit faith, but true faith, we need to compare and look at Paul and James and their writings. So the epistles of Paul. Paul has written 13 of the 27 New Testament books. Almost half the New Testament was written by Paul. Okay? And in his letters, in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those letters that he writes, he's dealing with an overall issue of legalism. The problem that he was addressing in a lot of these letters is legalism. What do I have to do in order to obtain salvation? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? What is it that I need to do in order to obtain salvation? And so Paul addresses that in his letters. James, on the other hand, he writes to Christians. He writes to folks who know that they're saved by grace through faith alone in Christ, but they've become sort of lackadaisical in their faith walk with the Lord. So laxity was a problem that James is addressing. The Christians and James, who's receiving that epistle, is, okay, sirrah, sirrah, you know, whatever will be, and, oh, see, Doris Day just passed away. I threw that in so you guys would, you know, okay, sirrah, sirrah, right? Whatever will be, will be. They were just lackadaisical in their faith. And the focus that Paul addresses is different than James. Paul addresses in his letters sort of the basis of our faith, the root of salvation. Where does it all begin? Where does our salvation really begin? James, he addresses the fruit of our salvation. Now that we know that we're saved, that we have the grace through faith in Jesus Christ, so what? What's the fruit then of our salvation? And the point that Paul writes to make the point, how to know that you're a Christian. How do you know that you're really saved? James, on the other hand, he wants to show, how do you show that you're a Christian? If you're a Christian, then show it. What are the things you need to do to show that you have faith in Christ? You don't just have to know it, like Paul says, but you have to show it, James says. And then the goal. The goal of Paul's writings is how to become a Christian. How is it? How do I know that I have salvation in Jesus Christ? Paul addresses that, certainly. But then we have James. How do you behave like a Christian? How is it that you should live your lives as a Christian? What is it that we do that a Christian does? So we want to realize this is really the whole basis of Christianity, that we need to realize the differences between what Paul is writing and who's he writing to, and what James, on the other hand, is writing to as well. And we need to realize those differences now as we dive into James chapter 2. Okay, so we know we've been saved through grace, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. But what about true, genuine faith that James addresses? James addresses a couple of things, what true faith is not. He addresses some things that says that true faith is simply, it's more than what we say, it's more than what we feel, and it's more than what we think. True faith, James says, is something more than what we say. Oh, it's not bad. We need to confess with our mouths that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we say it with our mouths. But now think about this. We have one tongue. But if we have shoes on, they also have a tongue. Most shoes have tongues in them. So we have two tongues down here. We want to walk the same way that our mouth confesses. In other words, our actions speak louder than our words. What we do speak louder than what we say out of our mouth. We all know people who confess and profess that they're a Christian, but their actions may not show that they are a Christian. Dare it happen to us? That we just confess it with our mouth, and when we're pressed about it, oh yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord. He's my Savior. He's forgiven all my sins. But do our actions show that we have that faith in the Lord? Do the things we do show our true, legitimate faith in our Savior? James says it this way in chapter 2, verse 14. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? Now, the implied answer here we know in English, of course, is no. In the Greek, it's even a stronger sense. The implied answer is no, that can't save him. Just confessing it with our mouth doesn't establish that we have everlasting, true, legitimate faith, James says. So real faith is something more than just saying it with our mouths. Real faith isn't also just a feeling. It's not something we feel. I don't know about you, but on Good Friday or even Easter or Christmas, after worship or during worship, you get this wonderful feeling. It just, oh, you feel so close to God. Or even sometimes on Sundays, you just feel extra close to the Lord. You just know His presence is here, and you feel Him in your heart. But that feeling goes away. The feeling doesn't last forever. So those feelings aren't bad. It's not bad to feel the Lord in his presence, but that's not what ultimate, true, legitimate faith is all about. We look at verses 15 and 16 of chapter 2 in James. He says, suppose a brother is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to them, go, I wish you well, be warmed and filled, but does nothing about his needs, what good is it? What good is it to say to that person who has no food, is starving, oh, I wish you well. I sure hope things work out for you. But we don't give them anything to satisfy their need. What good is that, James says? Is that true, legitimate faith? No, we're not showing the love of Christ. That's not true, legitimate love of Jesus. So faith, legitimate, true faith, is more than something we say. It's more than something we feel. And it's certainly more than something we think. Real faith isn't just something that we think. It's not just head knowledge up here. It's not just knowing that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. It's not just having the facts about him in our head. We look at verse 19 of chapter 2 of James. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. Little sarcasm here by James. Yeah, you guys, you believe that there's one God. That's awesome. That's great. Think about this, though. Even the demons believe that. And this phrase may catch you by surprise, but the demons that are mentioned in Scripture in Mark chapter 1 and in Mark chapter 5, the demons correctly think about who Jesus is, and they say it. In those couple of counts, the demons say to Jesus, hey, I know who you are. You are the Son of the Most Almighty God. The demons got it right. A plus, demons. You know who Jesus is. We know who Jesus is. We have it up here in our heads. Are there going to be demons in heaven? No. Do they have true, legitimate faith? No. You see, true, legitimate faith is something more than we have in just our heads. It's not just the head knowledge of knowing 50 Bible verses or all this knowledge that we can obtain. It's having it in our heart, of having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then living it in our lives. There's a formula we learned. You may be familiar with this. In high school, I learned it. I think it was E equals, what, MC squared? Einstein's relativity, and you guys can, you know it probably. E equals MC squared. Energy equals, what, mass times light squared, I think it is, something like that. Okay. It's an important formula, right, I guess. Learned it way back in high school. Now, how often have I thought about it and used it in everyday life? Not very often. Yeah, if someone's mentioned it, yeah, I realize I've learned it. But it doesn't come into play usually too often in my life. I hope and pray that our faith is not that way. That we've learned something way early on. We even went through confirmation. We learned all the facts about Jesus. But then it's like this formula that we've learned, and we don't really put it into practice. We don't really apply it to our everyday life. It doesn't come into effect on a daily basis. Oh, I hope and I pray that that's not how our faith is. That our faith is an everyday thinking, on every aspect of our life. We think about Jesus, our Savior. And so it's not, faith is something not that we just simply say or simply feel or simply think. But faith is something, the real legitimate faith is something we do. Something we do. In verses 21 and 22 of chapter 2, James says this, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. They sort of go hand in hand. Abraham and Rahab, who James also mentions, both knew they had faith. They had faith. And that is what saved them. Faith alone saved them. But then they did something with their faith. They showed their faith. Their faith was complete. Their faith worked together with their good work. The Greek word there is synergio. Synergio is where we get synergy. It's working together, really, as we translate that word. Working together, you see, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then it works together with our actions. And Rahab and Abraham had faith in the Lord. They had faith and trust in God. But then they showed it. They showed their faith. And so Abraham and Rahab both were saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ, that the promised Messiah would be coming. They had belief in God, but then they showed their faith as well. Abraham, by being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Rahab, by hiding the prostitute Rahab as the spies of Israel came in, and she hid them and sent them off in a different direction. They showed their faith. They were, in a sense, living out this phrase: if you are saved and you know it, your life will surely show it. What a neat, true statement that is, isn't it? If you're saved and you know it, your faith, your life will surely show it. Yes, Abraham, Rahab were saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. But we know, and we can take this truth away from today, that we are saved by faith alone. Yes, what the basis of the Reformation emphasized, we're saved by the faith alone in Jesus Christ. But, as James reminds us this morning, saving faith is never alone. It has the good works to go with it. Jesus Christ has paid the price for all our sins on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago, and we receive that forgiveness, that grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is what saves us. But saving faith is not alone. It's never alone. We have the works to go with it. It springs forth in our lives. It's evidence of our faith in Jesus. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and thank you for the gift of faith in our lives, that we know that we are saved through that grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. But now, Lord, help us to show it in our lives as we live our lives serving and loving you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.